LSU football reported for camp today. Practice begins tomorrow. It's happening, people. Football is back.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I'm your host, as I am every day. I'm an LSU alum, and I now host Sports Talk Radio in Nashville, Tennessee for ESPN 102.5 The Game. But like I mentioned, LSU football reports for camp today, and the first fall camp practice will get underway tomorrow. We'll also hear from Coach Brian Kelly after practice, so I'll make sure to have a full practice breakdown, some of my biggest takeaways from Brian Kelly had to say, and some of the reports from camp. I'll have my thoughts on that. But before we get into camp, kind of want to focus in on some of the positional battles that I've been focusing on the most. And before, you know, we get any camp intel, I want to go ahead and make my predictions known for who I think is going to win certain positional battles. Hint, my prediction for who is going to be named the starting quarterback on September 4th against Florida State. First and foremost, some of the camp expectations, some of the things that I'm going to be looking for as camp unfolds. And I also want to preface this with everyone that tomorrow is just day one, that, you know, in the next week, that is just week one. I know that we're looking at about a month until that game against Florida State, but a lot can happen in those practices. A lot can change and unfold over the next month. And so any of these predictions that I make for who is going to eventually win this battle, that can change tomorrow. That can change next week. Knock on wood, players could get injured, or some of these come from behind players or transfers that we might not know a lot about, or I might not know a lot about, or I might not be giving a second shot, really starts to shine in camp. I think that training camp is such a wonderful time for that, to be able to find the, you know, the hidden gems in this roster, to see who will eventually emerge to help this team in the long run. So I just want to preface that. Don't get overly high on someone in the first couple of days of practice. Don't get overly low on anyone in the first couple of days of practice. But also, don't count anyone out at this point, especially with this roster that is comprised so much of the transfer portal, because there are so many guys that I admittedly, you know, I don't really know a lot about. I mean, I look at Tremont Shorts, and I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. He is my pick to win this starting left guard position, just because he has, you know, this is going to be the sixth year of college football experience. I'm not going to admit to be a genius or a total Eastern Tennessee State University football insider. I'm not. I didn't watch any of their games. I'm not going to lie to you. But some of these things are just based off of logic and based off of the roster that LSU has at hand. They're dealing with a lot of transfer portal players who maybe played at, you know, smaller programs such as Tremont Shorts at Eastern Tennessee State. There's some players that we could have seen, you know, week in and week out. Jerick Bernard at Converse at Oklahoma State, for example. I watched the Big 12 championship and I saw him pop off. So let's just keep that in mind, that anything can change, and let's keep an open mind, and let's not get overzealous here, people. Let's not get overzealous. But first and foremost, let's not bury the lead. It's the most obvious story going into training camp. It's not the only story, but it's the biggest story. It's what I'm going to be following after every single day of camp. It's what you're going to be following after every single practice, and that is the LSU quarterback competition. That's the biggest story throughout this season, because Brian Kelly has already expressed apprehension of, you know, running a two quarterback set here. He mentioned doing it in the past, and it just doesn't work. And I think, you know, learning from experience, that's one thing. That's one reason why Brian Kelly doesn't want to, you know, have a dual quarterback system here. I think the second thing is that the three, and I understand that it's four. I'm going into this camp assuming that Walker Howard is going to redshirt, and I don't think that's a hot take. So I'm going to say three. Between Garrett Nussmeier, Jaden Daniels, and Miles Brennan, each of them have such a different skill set. And I think that, look, let's look at the running back position, for example. I think whoever the starter is going to be might depend on whoever the starting quarterback is going to be. So there's a whole lot dependent here on who the starting quarterback is going to be and whatever skill set this LSU offense chooses to emphasize. So I don't think that this is a quarterback room that's conducive to using two different quarterbacks throughout the season. I also don't know how that works internally in a locker room. I feel like you need a little bit of stability there of, okay, this is your guy. This is your quarterback. You got a backup sitting on the bench that if things go wrong, you know, knock on wood, whether that's an injury or whether that's a quarterback just absolutely, you know, not doing great, to put it lightly, there's always a backup there. But going into it, intending to play two quarterbacks, I don't think is the wisest decision. But obviously the quarterback competition. What I'm going to be looking at with Miles Brennan is, can he stay healthy? And that's a fair question, seeing as in the past two seasons, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, he looked confident and poised in the pocket in the spring game because, you know, he's used to playing in that environment. He's been at LSU for 6 years now. He's got the groove. He's got the confidence. He has the experience and the LSU experience. I look at Garrett Nussmeier, a quarterback that I really did not expect to be in this quarterback competition because I thought, okay, he's a younger guy and he has this kind of gunslinger reputation attached to him. And I thought, you know, once he gets a little bit more experience and he's in the system for a little bit longer, he'll start to protect the football a little bit more. But I think throughout the spring, we've learned that Garrett Nussmeier is absolutely a competitor in this quarterback competition. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on. I mean, he threw for the most yards in the spring game out of any quarterback. So is that gunslinger reputation with a little bit of refining and a little bit of discipline really a good thing? That's something that I'm going to be focusing on. And I think in Jaden Daniels throughout camp, and I'm going to be looking at how has his accuracy developed. He looked incredibly timid and inaccurate at the beginning of the LSU spring game, which probably makes sense, albeit the play calling in the spring game was, you know, fairly light. You know, you're not going to run any crazy little gadget plays or anything like that in a spring game. But Jaden Daniels did look apprehensive and almost stunned at the very beginning of the spring game. You know, took a sack early on, an interception. Did he have an interception? Missed throws. I'll just go with that. Missed some throws at the beginning of the spring game. And then comes out with, you know, a massive, almost 40-yard pass just a few plays later. So I'm going to be looking at his accuracy and also his confidence because I think that was something that was lacking a little bit in the spring game. I mentioned it earlier, the running back competition I think is going to be really, really fun. But the interesting thing about the running back position is that I think that you can have a running back by committee, can have a quarterback by committee, but I think that you can have a running back by committee. And I'm looking mostly at John Emery Jr. and Noah Cain. And Noah Cain has more college football experience, albeit he was in and out at Penn State with a nagging ankle injury that left him out of part of his freshman season and part of his junior season. And of course, that sophomore season, that COVID season in 2020, where the Big Ten had a shortened season. So, you know, his stats don't wow you. You know, 400 something yards in his freshman season, 300 something yards in his junior season. If he was healthy consistently, would that have been different? Probably so. But he does have more college football experience than John Emery Jr., of course, who was academically ineligible in 2021. But I do wonder, is this John Emery Jr.'s job to lose? If you are to name one permanent, concrete starting running back, is it John Emery Jr.'s job to lose? And I don't know if that comes from, you know, what he's done in the past or what he's shown in spring ball, what he's been able to show in this offseason, or if it's just, you know, all of our thoughts of, okay, well, John Emery Jr. has been at LSU, so he should get this job. One thing that I really want everyone to remember as all these positional battles kind of play out is that this coaching staff has zero loyalty. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean that in a sense of just because you started last year, just because you've been here for 3 years, doesn't mean that you're awarded any starting position just by seniority. This is a completely new coaching staff, and they're going to put in the person who they think is going to be the best at that position. And I don't think that you would ask them to do anything differently. I also look at the offensive line in the cornerback competitions as well that I think is going to be very interesting. And I've harped on this pretty much throughout the entire offseason, but I think that Will Campbell is going to earn that starting left tackle role. I think that they want him to develop into you know, that future anchor of the offensive line. And it's going to be tough for him in the first couple of games. He's going to have to get his footing. He hasn't faced, you know, SEC West caliber defensive lines, and that's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening. But I think he's ready to play now, even if that takes a little bit of acclimating into the college football space. I think he's ready. And I mentioned it, I think Tremont Schwartz, just based off of experience, him coming into his sixth year in college football, I would put him in that left guard position. And also having so much experience, kind of being able to support that left side with Will Campbell coming in and as a true freshman. I think Charles Turner is going to ultimately win that center position again, out of the most seniority. I think Charles Turner is a little bit small. Honestly, he's listed at 266 pounds. That's on the smaller side. And I know that sounds ridiculous for me to say, seeing as though I am not 266 pounds, how I could call anyone small at that weight. Might sound a little hypocritical, but I am not an offensive lineman in college football. So I think he's a little bit undersized. But I think that that's something that they can continue to work on with him. And I think also, again, with the experience, he's going to get that role. Right guard, to me, I have no idea. I have no idea who is going to be earn that right guard position. It was Anthony Bradford last year. No idea at right guard, but at right tackle, my prediction is Cam Wire. Of course, there are several guys in here that can, you know, can play guard, can play tackle, can swing over to one side or another. So this is going to be, I think this is the most robust position group in camp this year. So I'm excited to see how that all kind of plays out. And then also the cornerback position as well. It's going to be, you know, a bunch of defensive backs who came in from the transfer portal. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. But coming up next, I gave my predictions for, you know, I think that John Emery Jr., if you're going to pick one running back, he's going to be the starter. But I do predict that it's going to be a running back by committee with John Emery Jr. and Noah Kane, splitting snaps there. I gave you my predictions for the offensive line, but now the money prediction of who I think will be the starting quarterback for LSU in the fall. So I will get into that coming up next. Before I do that, I want to tell you about Bet Online, because betonline.net is the fastest and the easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. You can find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Friend reviews and news of every league. They've got Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports. That's fun to bet on. Esports and even golf. So go to BetOnline, because they continue to be the top online resource for all of your sporting wagering information. They've got live in-game betting, which has been one of my favorite things to do throughout the summer, is live in-game bet for MLB games. You know, I always bet on the underdog, see if there can be a come-from-behind win in the later innings. But they've also got scores and podcasts. They've got you covered for any of your sports betting content that you might need. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the games and action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So whether that's Spotify or Apple Music or Amazon Music, whatever you prefer, you can find us there. But you can also watch the podcast on YouTube as well. So make sure to go look to Locked On LSU on our YouTube page and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a second of your Locked On LSU content. But this has been something that I've really looked forward to all offseason. And I think that everyone is having their own conversations about this. You're probably having this with your friends. And I think LSU fans alike are all having those conversations at the water cooler, whatever that might be. But I want to put it down today. My official pick for who I think will be LSU's starting quarterback in the fall. And why? Because I want to get this in before camp starts. I want to get my pure, you know, no influence opinion. And this is just an opinion. Don't come for me. I don't have any inside information, and don't come for me if you think that you, if you disagree, because I think that each quarterback really can carve themselves a starting role in this team. But if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels. And I say that for a few reasons. First, Mike Denbrock was able to refine Desmond Ridder into a quarterback that could carry his team to the college football playoff. And I understand that Cincinnati also had a really solid defense. You look at Sauce Gardner, who was a first-round pick corner. And they had great pieces all around. But Desmond Ridder is the quarterback of that team. And, you know, except for Georgia, who has a quarterback that I don't think is going to be, you know, NFL starter anytime soon. I don't think Cincinnati gets to the college football playoff without Desmond Ritter's, you know, his skill and his responsibility of the football. Desmond Ritter and Jaden Daniels have a very similar skill set. I think they're both quarterbacks that have strong arms, but maybe some accuracy issues, which is a knock on Jaden Daniels, of course. I think we saw that in the spring game. And I think we can also look at his last 2 years at Arizona State and be a little bit concerned about his accuracy. I think that that's something that can be fine-tuned. And I hate saying this because we always say arm talent for quarterbacks. Let's call Jaden Daniels leg talent because he's got a lot of it. I mean, his ability to scramble and his ability to make plays with his legs, I think, is what makes him so intriguing. That was the same thing with Desmond Ritter. Desmond Ritter has a very similar skill set in that strong arm, a little bit inaccurate, but also can get it done with his legs. He could, you know, he could pick up a first down here and there with his legs. He could run it himself. Mike Denbrock was able to refine that ability. And I think he's going to be able to recreate that with Jaden Daniels as well. I mean, take Jaden Daniels and Desmond Ritter and all of these names out of it. If I told you that there was an LSU coach who coached a quarterback to a college football playoff and you now have a quarterback coming in with a very similar skill set, wouldn't that sound like a no-brainer? So I look at Mike Denbrock's ability with and, you know, recent success with a quarterback of that skill set, and I say, you know, Jaden Daniels makes sense. Another thing that I don't think that we're talking about enough is, and maybe that's just me being overly concerned about the offensive line, but, you know, you look at a 2021 LSU offensive line that was abysmal at best. I mean, poor Max Johnson seemed like he was either scrambling or on the ground more than he was upright and able to drop back to throw it deep. But this offensive line is a big concern of mine. It's young guys, it's transfers, it's guys who've been on this offensive line before, but it wasn't a great offensive line. There's nothing really about the offensive line, at least in this season, that makes me think, oh man, you know, if they can just, you know, check one or two more boxes, they are set. It's going to be a brick wall. I think that's going to be a continued weakness for this team, and that's okay. I mean, every team has one. But what we don't talk about enough is the quarterback's ability to be able to protect himself. If the offensive line can't do it for him, he's got to be able to scramble out and continue to make plays. Miles Brennan can make plays with his legs as well. Miles Brennan is, you know, has the ability to do that, to run the football, and he has a strong arm, and he can take care of the football. He has a sense of responsibility. He's more responsible, than I would say, with the football than maybe I've seen with their Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels. But Jaden Daniels is just better with his legs. He's quicker with his legs. He's more skilled with his legs. So he is going to be able to overcompensate maybe for what the offensive line can't do better than I think either Garrett Nussmeier or Miles Brennan. And admittedly, I've seen very little of Garrett Nussmeier. We've seen, you know, the games that he came in this last season and the spring game. We've seen very little of him. But there's just no guy in this quarterback room that can move like Jaden Daniels can. So I think that's one aspect here of Jaden Daniels being able to scramble with an offensive, pretty weak offensive line in front of him that I think is very important. Also, Jaden Daniels has the most starting experience out of these potential starting quarterbacks. Miles Brennan, I understand, has more years on him, but Miles Brennan, you know, he's been the backup quarterback for a couple of years and then came in as the starter, earned the starting job over Max Johnson, gets injured, and isn't able to play to finish out the 2020 season and isn't able to play in the 2021 season. So his starting reps are limited. Jaden Daniels, however, has been a starter in college football for 3 years. He's got that experience, albeit it's experience in a conference that doesn't play as robust of defense as perhaps the SEC does. You know, an Alabama defensive line versus a Cal Berkeley defensive line is a little bit different. I understand that. And Miles Brennan has that SEC West experience. So he's been here before. He's done this before. He knows what it takes to be a starting quarterback in the SEC. And that's invaluable experience in itself. But I think just the sheer number of snaps that Jaden Daniels has taken as a starting quarterback gives him the edge. So that's my official pick. Ding, ding, ding. My official pick for the starting quarterback for LSU, I believe it's going to be Jaden Daniels. But, like, let me preface this by saying, too, I'm not going to be surprised if it's Miles Brennan. I mean, Miles Brennan has been here. This is his sixth year at LSU. I'm not going to be surprised if Brian Kelly and Mike Denbrock decide to go with the sheer, you know, cool, calm, and collectedness, the confidence that Miles Brennan has shown. And, you know, the size that Miles Brennan has put on, that was always a concern of him in his earlier years at LSU, is can he put on more weight? He has done that. He's currently sitting at like 20 to 25 pounds heavier than Jaden Daniels. He's a stockier body. And you could make the argument that in front of a weaker offensive line, you might want a more, you know, stable quarterback to be able to be in the pocket. I wouldn't be surprised if it would be Miles Brennan. I would be a little bit more surprised if it was Garrett Nussmeier, just because, you know, he's coming into his second year. These are two quarterbacks that whose days are now numbered in college football. I would not be surprised if this is, you know, Miles Brennan's, I think this is final year of eligibility. I don't know, brain fart. But these are two quarterbacks that could have gone anywhere. Let's not forget Miles Brennan entered the transfer portal. Let's not forget that Jaden Daniels entered the transfer portal and could have gone somewhere other than LSU. And I don't think either of these players came to LSU or stuck with LSU for Miles Brennan's sake to be the backup. If you go with Garrett Nussmeier, you're taking two guys who could have gone anywhere and decided to either go to or stay at LSU, and you're going with the more inexperienced quarterback. You're going with a quarterback that might need just a little bit more refining. So I would be a little bit surprised if it is Garrett Nussmeier. But then again, the starting quarterback is going to be the best looking quarterback in camp, period. It doesn't matter if you were at LSU before, started for 3 years in college football, if you're a quarterback in this room, you are going to win the job. So I wouldn't be surprised if Miles Brennan is. Would be a little bit surprised if Garrett Nussmeier is, just because he has time. But Jaden Daniels, for me, is my pick. But coming up next, there is a big-time in-state recruit who is making his commitment on Saturday. What exactly does that mean for LSU? And how likely is it that LSU can get this guy? We'll get into that coming up next after these words. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So it was just released a couple of days ago, Shelton Sampson Jr., as he tweeted out, will make his commitment on Saturday, August 6th. It'll be in the Catholic High gym. It'll be live on the Jordy Clotta Show, I believe. But this is what I'm really excited about Shelton Sampson Jr.'s commitment, is that I think it's going to be LSU. And I think that's so important, because you're not just looking at, you know, a five-star wide receiver who has a great skill set, who's a tall kid. I mean, he's such a long-bodied kid. He's at 6'4", 181 pounds. He's the third best player in the state of Louisiana, the fourth best wide receiver, the 33rd best recruit in that 2023 class. All of those things are important. Your skill and your size and your ability and your ranking in your class, those are all things that are very important. I just touched the mic. I'm sorry if that startled you. But I think that's really important, bringing in another in-state kid. Bring in another kid who, you know, goes to school in LSU's backyard, Catholic High. I think it's so important to continue to bring in these in-state kids, because Shelton Sampson Jr. really, you know, he has the pick of the litter. He's choosing between Alabama, Florida State, LSU, and Texas A&M officially, but he's gotten offers from all around college football. He can go wherever he wants. But if he decides to stay in-state, if he decides to go to LSU, I think that just continues to prove even more and more that Brian Kelly's recruiting staff can recruit in the state of Louisiana. That even with a change in coaching staff, there are in-state players that still want to come to LSU and play for Brian Kelly and stay in-state. That was a big fear, let's say, rewind to about a month ago, maybe a little bit longer. I think we were all getting pretty restless about, okay, you're getting these great players from Maryland and Indiana and Michigan, wherever it might be. But there are so few players in the state of Louisiana. But Shelton Sampson being one of the top recruits in the country in your backyard, and he chooses to stay at LSU whenever he's got, you know, three other programs that are high on him, an Alabama team that I believe you're road to the national championship is paved a little bit more clearly, at least in the recent future. Texas A&M that has offered very robust NIL deals, more a little bit more publicly than maybe some other programs, LSU included. And if he decides to stay at LSU, I think that's a big thing. And I think that's another statement recruit and another notch to Brian Kelly that, hey, he can do it nationally, but he can also do it in our own backyard too. So we'll continue to monitor that. Again, Shelton Sampson Jr., the ranked wide receiver, 33rd ranked player nationally, Catholic high kid, will make his commitment will make his college commitment on Saturday. And I'm thinking it's going to be LSU. I'm thinking it's going to be LSU, just based off of, you know, all the research that I've done and everything that I've heard. And I think that's huge for Brian Kelly in this 2023 class. But that is going to do it for me today. I thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a breakdown of practice. We'll hear what Brian Kelly had to say after practice as well. But make sure you get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen. Locked On SEC.